You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with your host, James Creviston.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast. This is James. Today is just me. I'm just going to do a solo episode. I want to do something short and sweet. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, get ready for a spoiler. Luke will not be returning to the podcast for the foreseeable future. He has other things going on, and you kind of stepped away for a while, so I have no idea if he's ever coming back. Definitely he'll be back as a guest, something like that, but as a co-host, it'll be here all the time. He doesn't see it, and I don't see it happening, which is terrible because we started this journey together. So I wanted to kind of call this restarting over, because I thought of, like, when we started this podcast, we were both brand new to stand-up. We were both getting started doing open mics. We produced our own open mic for a while at a coffee shop. We ran shows together. We did a ton. Like, we were literally learning the ropes of comedy together. And for me, it was one of those things where I was like, man, this is an important moment. Like, this podcast started an important journey for us, and it's opened a lot of doors for both of us. And for me, while I still do stand up, what's funny is the podcast and the other things that I worked on as I was going, because I wanted to say yes to as many things as I could, right? That's the most important thing. I keep hearing from people in Hollywood, or I keep hearing from people that I know are successful. They said, yeah, I just said yes. I was saying yes to a lot of stuff. So I've been saying yes to a lot of things, and it's kind of pulled me a little away from stand-up and more into comedy writing and that kind of stuff, and a little bit of teaching, a little bit of mentoring, a little bit of working on stuff that are outside of the stand-up norm. But I'm still writing stand-up, I'm still working on sets and doing things and trying to get prepared for stuff. So I'm not stepping away from stand-up, nor will I ever step away from stand-up. I love stand-up. It's great. It's the core of what maybe you love comedy. But I also have been looking at Reddit a lot, right? And I love Reddit. I think it's great. I try to give advice there when I can. But a lot of people are asking, like, what's the process? What's my process? I want to do stand-up. What's the process? What's open mic like? What's the writing process like? So I thought about, like, if I had to start over again, like, if we're calling it starting over, restarting over, what is that process like? What would I tell my younger self before he started this podcast, you know, in 2017 or something, I think, when we started this? What would I go back now and tell that young guy, much younger guy, who was starting, right? 5-6 years ago, whatever. Hey, here's what you would do. Here's what you should do. So let's say this is going to be restarting over. This is going to be my crash course, my kind of love letter to myself from the future, right? We're going back to the future type such here. So first thing first is, find a mentor, find someone who is going to, okay, find a mentor or find a co-person, find someone who's going to work with you through your stand-up career. Right now, or at least when I started, Luke was that person. Now I work with a lot of other people. David Studebaker and I are great. Robert G. Lee is a great mentor to me and helps with that stuff. I found a lot of other comedians that I work with and do things with. I'm hoping to get some other people on here that I know are super funny. AC, if you're listening, super funny. Augustino Zoida, super funny. Darren Carter also has given me feedback and help on stuff. There's a lot of people out there that have really helped me grow as a comedian. And so I really am grateful to all of those people. The next thing that I would say is study stand-up, right? And I already was when I started this, but study stand-up. Watch a lot of stand-up. Watch stand-up you don't even like, right? Say someone says, hey, so-and-so stand-up is terrible. Go watch it anyways, right? Find out why they think it's terrible. Find out if you think it's terrible. Maybe there's something there that they're not getting. Maybe there's a style, right, that they're not getting. Maybe there's a way that they speak that they don't like or something. Maybe it's something you do like, a cadence that they say or whatever. You know, there's a lot of people come back and say, oh, that person's a hack. And it's, are they a hack because or whatever? Like when Mark Norman first came out, I heard people say he was just a Jerry Seinfeld ripoff. And I was like, are you kidding me? And you go watch Mark Norman. He's very smart. He's amazing. I was like, really? How are the people? But I've heard people say that. I've seen people say that. It's ridiculous. I'm like, okay, well, that's your opinion. So study stuff, even stuff you hate, right? even stuff that confuses you or throws you off or is considered hack or whatever, because you're going to learn something. If it really is hack, you're going to learn, hey, don't do that, right? If it's really terrible, you're going to understand, okay, don't do that, and here's why. Maybe it's just a way of viewing things. Some people don't like certain kinds of comedy, you know? I think what's crazy is when people say, oh, there's no such thing as funny women comedians. Are you kidding me? Have you not seen Michelle Wolf? Like, Nice Lady? That's one of the best specials, female special I've seen in a long time. I love it. I haven't seen Ali Wong's new one, but I loved her original one. So we'll see what happens there. Stuff like that. Jenna Kim Jones, hilarious. Like, there's so many funny comedians. I mean, I bet if I started just looking, I bet I could find like a ton that I've watched that I didn't even realize, because I watch so much stand-up and I just listen to so many things. The other thing is, don't listen to the internet. This is a weird thing, right? I'm saying this via a podcast, which you're probably listening to via the internet, and I'm saying don't listen to the internet. What I'm saying is, don't listen to people who say that person sucks without reviewing it for yourself. Because there was a lot of times where people say, oh, that person XYZ. And I go, okay, well, I guess I probably shouldn't listen to that, or I shouldn't check that out. But then I was realized, you know what? No, that's one person's opinion. Or maybe 10 people's opinion on Reddit or the internet or a forum or whatever. How am I going to know? Am I going to let the rest of the world make my decisions for me and tell me what's good, bad, or otherwise? No, that's not, doesn't even make sense. Also, if you're a comedian, you're supposed to have your own point of view. If you're listening to everyone else's point of view, how are you going to develop your own point of view, right? That's one of those things. The other thing I would say is write every day. I write at least one joke a day, every day, one joke, right? Either on my phone, on my computer, wherever. I always am writing a joke, or I'm punching up a joke or rewriting a joke, all that kind of stuff. It's just, I'm constantly working on stuff. Not only that, even though I'm working on scripts and screenplays and punching up, you know, web series or commercials or whatever it is, I always have time to write a joke. And that's the thing, is you have to set time aside to write, right? You're not going to be a good comedian if you don't write. Now, there are some comedians that I know, and like I said, AC, I'm going to have AC on here soon. He writes on stage. We talked about it. It threw me off. Like, apparently Dave Chappelle does the same thing. Fantastic. That's good that they can do that. But then I asked him, I said, how do you remember your material when you do it? He's like, that's why I record everything. I can listen to it again and know how I did it. Okay, well, that's amazing. I don't have that skill. There's no way I can do that. I do listen to my sets over and over again and to get them in my head, but I'm never going to remember that. I have to write it down, because I'm going to have to work it out, six times before I'm ever comfortable with doing it on stage again. Let's see. The next thing is be open. Be open to opportunities. When I started stand-up, if I didn't like a show, or if I thought, I don't know why. I got this idea, like, from, again, I listen to other people who are like, you don't want to do that show. You don't want to do that show. And I go, okay, I don't want to do that show. I realized there's not really a lot of bad shows. I mean, yeah, the show can go badly, but there are other really bad shows. No, not really. I mean, you're going to be in front of a bunch of people doing stand-up. How bad is that going to be? That could be anywhere. I've done veterans' homes. I've done drug rehab clinics. I've done old folks' homes. I've done religious community shows. I've done bar shows. I've done everything, right? Because I realized after a while, it's like how people say, no press is bad press type thing. That's the thing, is you no stage time is bad stage time, because you're going to learn something. You're either going to do well and you're going to learn, oh, this is how I should have told this joke, or you're going to bomb and you're going to learn, okay, what could I have done differently? Or you're going to have a weird crowd that you're going to have to figure out how to work around to make your jokes work or make the show work or do whatever. Or you're just going to have a normal show where you do your set, everything goes well, and okay, it's just another show. But you worked the muscle. You got stage time. You did the things you're supposed to do. If you're constantly rethinking, overthinking things, or thinking about like, if I do this show, then I can't do this show. And if I do this show, I can't do that. And then I don't like this person. It's like, also, don't have beef within the comedy community. Unless somebody actually really wrongs you, like in a terrible way, steals your joke, you know, tries to fight you, like whatever, defames you for some reason, not defame you, but like, you know, talk smack about it. Who cares? Really? It's like, okay, good. Yeah, stupid. Well, this isn't high school, right? We're professionals. You're supposed to be professional comedians. And professional comedians don't care about petty squabbles and arguments or whatever. Do your best to be a professional comedian when you're performing as a professional comedian. If you're getting paid, you're a professional comedian. And guess what? You should act like a professional comedian. So that's what I would say. If I'm going back in time to tell myself stuff like that, this is some of the stuff I would say. Now, to anybody who's getting started in stand-up, again, those same things. Look for a mentor or a comedy friend that you can work along with. Study comedy. Probably even take a couple. I know this is controversial. Find out from other people who they've worked with, right? One of my favorite people is Jerry Corley. Again, Robert G. Lee, fantastic to work with. They helped me out a lot when I started. Some comedy clubs have it. I wish that I would have got to go Pauly Shore's sister used to teach at the Comedy Store. I have her book. I never got to go to her class. I am sad that I never did because it would have seemed awesome. But those kind of things like that, do what you can. Engage with me. Judy Carter's book is amazing. There's so many resources, especially nowadays, resources for comedians. Go do it. I know somebody that just signed up for Mark Norman's Patreon, and he does like a monthly class, which just sounds awesome. I might do that. Joel Byers in the Hot Breath Comedy. He does weekly and monthly classes and stuff, and he does joke feedback, stuff like that. Do that. I mean, I have been talking to somebody about setting up a Patreon to do the same thing where we're doing weekly or monthly feedback things. Maybe we do like a weekly mic via a live show app, which I love because those guys are awesome and we do some support for them. So we do a monthly or weekly live show app open mic, and then we do a monthly Q&A or feedback or review. And then maybe we do something like, you know, one-on-ones, a few, like, you know, you get a one-on-one every 6 months or something like that. I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet, but I think there's a way for us to all help each other. And I want the community to be positive community. And I want the community to grow and be helpful and feedback to each other. And also to build up shows for each other. The big thing for me is, how do I help you guys break through the noise, right? Because there's so many comedians, probably more than there's ever been, competing for the same amount of stage time. How do you break through the noise and do something? Do I think it needs to be via YouTube videos and whatever? And no offense to any of those guys who are YouTube comedians that then are now taking stage time, but to me that doesn't feel like you're actually doing anything for the craft. You're just taking your celebrity from YouTube and taking stage time from legitimate comedians who've been working on stand-up for XYZ amount of years. I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying things like that kind of bother me a little bit, you know, and maybe it's the same beef that I have with Jeff Dunham, where I don't feel like he's a real comedian, but you know, that's me. That's who I am. That's my bias there. Again, this is weird, right? See, one of those things where I love Triumph the Insult Dog, right? But would I go to a show, a stand-up show of his? No. But would I watch a lot more of his material? I did. I watched the thing where he went with the guy, Kenneth from 30 Rock, and they like went to a sandwich place or burger place or whatever. They like insulted the people who insult people there. It was just hilarious. Like stuff like that is funny to me, but it's, I don't know. It's weird. I consider Jeff Ross a comedian, right? He roasts comedy is a style of comedy. It's very niche and unique. Thanks to Roast Battle it did blow up, but it's not common. And the last person that was famous from roast comedy was Don Rickles, and Don Rickles was amazing at roasting people, and it was just who he was. So, I mean, there's so many levels to comedy. I'm not trying to take anything away from anyone, but find ways to break out of the norm. And that's the thing is, I say that, and then I go, oh, well, this kind of comedian shouldn't be taking stuff from it's. I don't care. The truth is, I don't care. I want people to be successful, and I'm not going to be petty about it. It annoys me sometimes. And that's just my own personal thing where I'm like, come on, man. But because I think about how hard all these other people are working. I go to clubs. I go to open mics. I see people working hard. And then I see a guy who has 5,000 hits on a video or 10,000 hits or 100,000 hits on a video. That's like, okay, we all know this. We all make this joke or whatever on stage. And then they're like selling out comedy clubs. And I'm like, really? That's what we're doing now? Okay, whatever. So it's just one of those things where it irks me, but at the same time, it's great to see people be successful in the comedy world. I would say also, if you want help, if you want feedback, if you want whatever, reach out to me. right? I'm providing that. I have helped a few people. I am helping more people. I have a backlog of people right now, but reach out to me. I'm more than happy to help. Like I said, I'm going to work on this Patreon thing so I can offer more ways to help people. So I can do like weekly, even maybe like a weekly call. We do a mic and then a weekly call with feedback or something like that. Something where we can help, because I really want to give back to the community. I love stand-up. I love stand-up comedians. I've met so many great stand-up comedians. I met comedians that I've seen on Reddit and then gone to the club with them. And I'm like shaking their hand and giving them hugs, like we're best friends who've known each other forever. When we just met 5 minutes ago, where we only had a weird conversation on Reddit, not weird, but like we had a conversation on Reddit and that's it. But I love them. And I'm like, hey, you're doing the work. It's like the military thing. It's the brotherhood or the sisterhood. It's like, we're united, right? You know, like we have a lot of we're fighting the same battles. Stand-up's not easy. It's harder than being, actors. It's harder than being an actor, right? Because there's no take backs there. You don't get another retake. You have to do it live in front of people. Even for play actors who work in plays, they do a great job, but they get to rehearse and rehearse and rehearse without people around or without a paying public to be able to get feedback and get better. Without paying public, without other people around, comedians aren't going to get any better. You can't do it in your room and expect to get better at stand-up. That's just not how it works. You can't just stand in front of your mirror and do your jokes and expect to get an HBO special. It's not how that works. There's just so many things and so many layers to it that you have to perform. It's, you have to get in the trenches. You have to take those losses, the ups and downs, the good shows, the bombs, the hard shows, the hell gigs, all those things in order to get better. And that's why I talk to people about that on the show is, hey, what's going on? Tell me about your story, your journey, because we learn so much. Where this is a united community. And anybody who wants to keep tearing the community apart, like, then go somewhere else, because this is positive. We want to build up comedians. We want to build up better people. People who are trying to go out and do stand-up, you have guts. You have more guts than anybody, right? The Jerry Seinfeld joke about, which is based on a true thing, more people would rather be in a casket at a funeral than be giving the eulogy. More people are scared of public speaking than anything else. It's one of the biggest fears. We're breaking those boundaries. So if you get up there, you have guts, man. You're or a lady or whatever person, you have guts. You're strong. You're doing something that most people freak out about, that they hate, right? I don't know if you ever had a job where you had to give a public talk, or you had to give a speech in front of your boss or present in a meeting or something like that. So many people are like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. They freak out, right? But you're doing it as a comedian willingly and often without pay, sometimes even paying to go up on a stage and do that. I applaud every single one of you. So let me know, put something in the comments or shoot me an email. My email's in YouTube, and then it's around. You'll be able to find it. Or go to, you know, the Clean Comedy Podcast at gmail.com. I'm going to double check that to make sure that I'm right on that. But I'm pretty sure it's the Clean Comedy Podcast at Clean. It's just Clean Comedy Podcast at gmail.com. Clean Comedy Podcast at gmail.com. Shoot me an email. If you want me to you know, look at your set, give you some advice, talk, whatever it is, shoot me a message. I'm down. I 100% want to help. I think when I get a Patreon, it'll be cheap, like $5 a month or something like that. And we'll do like a weekly open mic. And then we'll do like a monthly thing. So something. I want to help the community. For me, this community has been helpful to me. And now I want to take that and add it to you guys. And the reason that I would want to do a Patreon is someone told me, look, we want to help you the best we can. We want to keep this going. And the more help that we get, the more people we can bring on, the bigger we can make it. I get more, bigger guests, right? We were able to pull Barry Katz. It was awesome. But I'd love to grab Chappelle sometime, or Nate Bargatze, or Bill Burr, or Jim Gaffigan, or Brian Regan. Like, a ton of people. There's so many people that I have met along the way. Adam Conover is one person I want to talk to, because he translated his stand-up into an amazing show that I love. I mean, not everybody loves it, but I love Adam Ruins Everything. It's to me, it's interesting because as a history person, I love that they do it and then they give you the footnotes of where to go find stuff, like that they're trying to be forthcoming with all their information. And sometimes they make mistakes and sometimes things are weird, but who cares? It's all a lesson. So thank you guys for listening. Please, if you're starting over, find someone to help you. Study resources. Don't let people bring you down. Get up on stage as much as possible and find your own voice. You do those things, you're going to have success. Are you going to be Dave Chappelle? Probably not. Are you going to be Jerry Seinfeld? Probably not. But could you possibly be a touring comedian? Yeah, you could. It's very possible. And then you could find other ways to make money. There's ancillary ways to make money as a comedian. That's the other thing I want to do on Patreon is bring back the Comedypreneur Show and put it behind the Patreon, because I feel like a lot of people kind of poo-pooed on it a little bit and said, oh, who's this guy? When I could show you, at least on Patreon, and I would love to put it behind a paywall so that it's not exposed to everybody, but I can show you how much I make every single month and every single year from writing and doing comedy stuff that's not this and not stand-up, because that's where I make my living, and it's not a bad living. I'm very happy about it. And I live in LA, right? When I say not a bad living, I'm not Kardashian money, right? Obviously. Well, I'm not Rogan money, but I'm not hurting. So, and that's all for me just working at it every single day and doing the things that I'm telling you guys to do. Write jokes every day. Keep working on stuff, because sometimes I write a joke, it's not for me. And then I'm writing a script and I'm like, ooh, that joke I wrote like 2 weeks ago would be awesome right here. And I find a way to work it in and it works. And sometimes you write something that's funny that's not really going to work on stage, but is a good gag and fits into a script or fits into a commercial or whatever. So again, email cleancomedypodcast.com. Ask me any questions. I'm trying to get this Patreon set up. I don't know a ton about it, so I'm working with somebody on it who knows more than me. I'm also working on our Instagram. It's at the Clean Comedy Podcast on Instagram, putting stuff up there. I'm trying to figure that one out too, so bear with me a little bit. I know it's slow going. I'm behind the curve on all the internet trends, because honestly, for me, it's just I don't really care that much. I'm trying to do all the things that I love to do my way. I don't really translate it well, but I'm working on it, and I have people that are helping me, and I'm very grateful. And I will have one of them on. I'm trying to get them on as a guest, and then also possibly have them as a co-host who they know marketing and all kinds of stuff, and put them on for the Comedypreneur Show so they can give, I can give the comedy side, they can give the business side. We can work together. We can test it. I can A/B test it on my stuff. We can see how it works, and we'll go from there. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please, please, please like, subscribe, go to YouTube, leave a comment. Please follow on YouTube. Let's subscribe on YouTube. Let's get up to 1,000 followers. We're getting there. I appreciate every single one of you. Thank you so much for listening. Please have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.